In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So today is a major day in the life of the church. It's a huge day. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit, in all His work, enters into the church. It's a major feast in our church. The day of Pentecost. The day when the Holy Spirit comes down onto the church. It's a very significant day. So Jesus dies. Jesus dies, to put into context, and His disciples are scattered. They don't know what to do with themselves. And then with a bit of time, He comes and appears to them and shows them that He's still alive. And then, after a number of days, He ascends to heaven. So He leaves them again, but He promises them something. He says, I'm going, I'm leaving you again, but this time I'm going to send down the Holy Spirit. And of course, the disciples have to be patient. And a few days later, they have this huge event where they're sitting in a room and there's a mighty wind and there's tongues of fire on their heads and everything changes. Everything changes about them. Everything changes about the way they see things, about the way they serve. And that's the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes and changes someone. And of course, they go out that day and they start talking in tongues and they convert 5,000 people and then they change the whole world. From that day, they changed the whole entire world. The world that we know today is completely different because of that day when the disciples received the Holy Spirit. So, we must think to ourselves, if that's the case, and we come to church every week, and we come to church on a day like today, the Pentecost, and the church is saying we're celebrating today the Pentecost, we must think to ourselves, can we be the same? Can we receive the Holy Spirit in the same way that they received the Holy Spirit? Can we have the effect of the Holy Spirit on us the same way that they had the effect of the Holy Spirit on them? And we must have that feeling. And if we don't have that feeling, then what's the point of us being here? What's the point of us celebrating this feast? We're coming here for no real reason. Unless we're at least here, at least with the idea that somehow we should leave different today, particularly today, every liturgy, but particularly today. You know, Saint Seraphim of Sarov is a famous Russian monk, a very, very holy man, who someone came and asked him and said, what is the purpose of the spiritual life? What is the purpose? Why are we here? And his answer was very, very simple. To acquire the Holy Spirit. That was what he said, to acquire the Holy Spirit. And then he has a dialogue with this person, and it's written in a book called The Acquisition of the Holy Spirit. To acquire the Holy Spirit. So today we'll just focus on a couple of quick points about what it is about us that make us ready today to accept Him or not. What is it about us? And there's a few criteria that we see, particularly in the book of Acts, when we read the story about the Pentecost. The first requirement is that we read that it says the day of Pentecost had fully come. The idea that the day of Pentecost had fully come. There was a time when they were not ready and there's a time when they were ready. And the first thing I wanted to mention was that we have to wait on God. We have to be searching. We have to be honest in our search. And when the day is fully come, when we are ready, then the Holy Spirit will come down on us in all His glory. And the idea of waiting patiently, waiting in prayer. You know, even the disciples, it says that, you know, Christ went up into heaven and they, for the next few days, they waited. They got together as a group and prayed. And it says in one accord, they got together. They waited. You wait on God. There must be patience. You must be patient in your spiritual life. You must grow in patience. Not anxious. Not frustrated. Where's God? Why isn't He answering me? Why am I left to suffer? It's patience. You know, Pope Carolus, when he was a monk, it says that he went out into a cave for 3 years. And he writes himself that I was there for 3 years and I prayed and there was nothing. There was nothing. And at the end of the 3 years, then I saw the light. Who knows what he saw? But for sure, it was the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Whatever he saw, something changed in his life that day. And he says, then I saw the light. He doesn't explain any further. It's that patient waiting. That patient waiting. We go to God and we pray for 1 minute, 5 minutes, and you say, I don't feel anything. Forget it, it's a waste of time. And Pope Corleone himself, 3 years, 3 years in solitude, not leaving a cave. So we have to be patient in our spiritual lives. We have to be very patient. The second requirement, probably the most important, is that the Holy Spirit cannot work in disunity. He cannot work in someone, he cannot come to someone that does not love other people. He cannot come to a family that is divided. He cannot work in a church that is broken, that is divided, that is fighting, that hates one another. He cannot work in a world where everyone hates each other. The Holy Spirit, by his nature, is uncomfortable in that environment and therefore will move, will leave, will not stay. Even Christ himself, when he says, when they accuse him of casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, even he says, Satan's kingdom will not stand if it's divided against itself. Even Satan won't stand if it's divided against itself. The Holy Spirit cannot work in a divided place. And in Acts today, it says they were all together in one accord. The idea of being in one accord. You know, and so the idea of unity is so important in the spiritual life. In every avenue of our lives, when it comes to our workplaces, when it comes to our studies, when it comes to our homes, when it comes to our church service, the idea of unity is so important, even at the expense of my logic. Even if what I'm saying is correct. Even if what I'm saying is definitely the way it should be. But if I, for the sake of unity, humble myself, then the Holy Spirit can work. If I fight about it because I think I'm right, then the Holy Spirit can't be there. And your logic, yes, maybe your logic will work. And maybe that's the best way of doing something. But the Holy Spirit won't be there, and therefore it cannot grow. It cannot grow. And this is particularly true for service. So we have to understand that unity is the most important thing. The Holy Spirit cannot work in disunity. He shies away. I heard about a priest who is the head of a church. And I always saw his personality as extremely strong. Like that you can't really argue with him when he wants to do something. But I found out from someone that used to sit on the Lagna with him that whenever he said to me, this is what the person on the Lagna said to me, he goes, well, I can't get anything done because the priests are obsessed with unity. And I said, oh, why? What's the problem? He said, whenever there's an argument, they just shy away. They just sit back and wait for the argument to finish. They don't say anything. They just shy when it comes to disunity. That is the reflection of someone who has the Holy Spirit in them. The idea of fighting and hatred and being divided is something that is against God. It is something that the devil wants to produce in the world. You read the newspapers and all you see is disunity and fighting. That's something that the devil is inserting into the world that's anti-God. And of course, God comes to bring it all back together again. The spiritual message in almost all of St. Paul's epistles is the body of Christ, the unity of Christ. We read it today. Where is smell if I insist to be an eye? If I insist to be an eye, who's going to smell? If I want to be a leg, then who's going to be the arm? So what St. Paul is saying, that in the body of Christ, everyone has a role and we cannot fight. We cannot be divided. It's very important. The Holy Spirit will not guide you if there's disunity. And the third thing I wanted to comment on was taking the spiritual life seriously. The Holy Spirit won't enter into someone that's not taking their spiritual life seriously. You know, if we don't give God the best of our time, the best of our energy, at least designate time for Him, then how can He work in us? How can I say to Him, please come into me? How can I say to Him, please work in my life, when I have no real intention of giving Him anything? Anything of value to me, only what's left over. Only the rubbish of my time, the rubbish of my energy, the rubbish of my personality is to God. Everything else, the good stuff, is for myself. The Holy Spirit cannot work in someone like that. You know, we can't come to God only when it suits us. Only when I have all the time in the world and all those, that relationship that was keeping me away from God, now it broke down, now I can come to God. We must give from our best. The Holy Spirit will never force Himself on us. You have to understand that. The Holy Spirit does not work by force. He does not work by insisting on coming into you or by working in you. The Holy Spirit works by a voluntary acceptance. A voluntary acceptance. And that is reflected in the way you live your life. So, for the Holy Spirit to work in us, we have to be ready. We have to be patiently waiting. We have to take our spiritual life seriously, and we have to live in a life of unity. It's extremely important. And then we receive the rewards. And so, today I'll talk a little bit about the rewards before we finish. The gifts. So there's a lot of gifts from the Holy Spirit. There's a lot. But the first one I wanted to talk about was the idea of unity. As I said, the Holy Spirit cannot work in a place of disunity. But someone full of Holy Spirit can come to a place that's divided and bring it back together again. If there's a family that's broken, and one of the children, just one of the children, is holy before God and has the Holy Spirit in him, he can bring that whole family back together. If a church is divided and is not growing, if just a few servants serve honestly and have this Holy Spirit in them, they can build that church. If a workplace is broken and divided and everyone hates each other, if one person at that place is full of love and the Holy Spirit, that place can be united again. You have the capacity to bring that healing that the Satan is trying to break. You as an individual, in your family, in your work, in your home, everywhere. So we can bring unity if we are the person with the Holy Spirit. The second gift is that the spiritual life, particularly the Holy Spirit working in someone's life, is extremely contagious. You can affect the world around you. You can change the world around you if you are full of the Holy Spirit. You know, tomorrow we start a fast. So today is the day of Pentecost. And then we start the Apostles' Fast. And what are we remembering when we do the Apostles' Fast? Is their work over the next number of years that they changed the whole entire face of the world. They brought Christ to the whole world. And of course, that is what we achieve today. When we come today in honesty, in patience, seriously, in unity, we come here and we receive the Holy Spirit, we leave today able to change the whole entire world. And that's what the apostles did. And that's what we remember when we start the fast tomorrow. And when I say take it seriously, we have to take it seriously. When the church says to us we have to fast tomorrow for the sake of the world, for the sake of remembering what the apostles did and doing what they did, then we do that. We listen. We obey. That is what I mean by taking it seriously. And then we can achieve a change in the world. The third thing that we can achieve is joy. Is joy, happiness, satisfaction in our lives. Joy. Being in touch with the Holy Spirit. And it's not, and you know, when you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it's often equated to drunkenness, to being drunk with the Holy Spirit. Almost ecstatic, irrational joy. To the point where you can be joyous even in spite of your circumstances. So even if everything in your life flips on its head and is horrible, you can still be happy and joyful. You can still be content in your heart. That's something that no one can claim. No human can claim that when that one thing that's important to me leaves my life, I can remain happy. Except someone who's in touch with God. And I've seen it firsthand. I mean, I remember when Father Jacob from St. Mark's Church, when his wife passed away. And he was devastated. I mean, he looked like he would be devastated because, you know, leading up to it, he was praying and fasting and all these things. And when the day came, he gave a speech in the church and he was actually happy. He was not even putting it on. He wasn't faking it. He was actually happy in himself. And I remember I took so much inspiration from that, that your joy is full. The whole idea of your joy being full, that's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter about your external circumstance. Yes, there's a sadness that I'm not going to see a person, or that I've lost my job, or that something didn't go right, I failed an exam. But deep within me, there's a satisfaction that cannot be taken from me, from the Holy Spirit. So today, we have to come in readiness, in anticipation, in want, that the Holy Spirit come and dwell within us. And if we're not here today with that desire, then why are we here? Why are we here? This is Pentecost. This is the day that the Holy Spirit enters the church. We must at least have some small desire for that, or else the Holy Spirit will leave here today unchanged. And of course, then we won't change anything. We won't change the world around us. We won't change our families. we change nothing. So today is the day of change when the Holy Spirit comes and works in us. So if we want to acquire the Holy Spirit, as St. Seraphim of Sarov says, acquire the Holy Spirit, we must have a ready heart. We must have a ready heart. Glory be to God forever. Amen.